I just remember my son Sam, when we spent the night out there in the pre-dawn hours, and he's in his sweatshirt, and he gets up early, and he sits on my lap, and he said, "Campfires are so good, aren't they, Dad?"
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, I am feeling overwhelmed. Is this a dad's lot in life to feel overwhelmed? Because I'm feeling it. It just feels like there's a lot of little things that just need my attention. Our air conditioner went out about 2 weeks ago, and we found out that it's a blower motor, and I've got to still get that ordered and put on, and that feels a little overwhelming with other things. Today we're going to run the sewer and the water to our barn. It's hard to believe. Like I said, I think I said earlier, we're on like phase 14 and we're going to be done.
Wow.
But that
does not sound like little things.
Sound like huge. Big things, man. I mean, there's like a backhoe sitting in my yard and it's just going to be a big deal. I know, don't tell my wife, but she just thinks, well, all you have to do is run the water and the sewer. And I'm like,
piece of cake,
you know, and it's just all the little things. Even Dasher, my beloved little dog, my son came in and said, "Dad, look what Dasher did. He chewed a hole in the drywall."
Oh, man.
That does not endear people to you or animals to you. But I'm staying calm. I'm breathing deeply. And on top of that, my kids decided that they need to be a part of the agricultural industry and are now blueberry pickers.
All right.
Do you know what a blueberry picker makes? Nothing.
Blueberries.
I mean, my daughter Maggie, who's 14, she did it on Monday, and I dropped her off. I mean, and there was no one I could see except the farmhand, who was some young guy, and you know, his grandparents owned the blueberry farm, and he goes, gives you no instructions, just go pick blueberries. And so she takes her little basket out. She was out all day. We got there about 8:40 because I wasn't sure what time it opened. And I picked her up, I think, at 2:30. And she made $11 in blueberries. And I'm like, Maggie, you know, that doesn't add up to very much. And but she wanted to go the next day. And then her brother, Jed, went. Because I guess there are a bunch of kids from church who go, and they don't really chit chat a lot, but they're in the same field, and together they make almost nothing. So, wow. But Jed, who's 10, he just was on fire. I'm like, he was loving it. He loves the challenge. He loves the opportunities. And on the way home, they were eating their lunch yesterday. And I said, "Why didn't you eat lunch?" He goes, "Cause I was making money." So today's their last day at the blueberry patch, and my family is here. My parents have been here because every year you hear me tell the same story. Every year my family comes to Lake Wawasee, which is the lake that we all kind of grew up going to vacation at, and I live 12 minutes from. So my parents were here on over Monday when we got back from wherever we were at, and they'll be here for the next week and a half, and then all my family, my brothers and sister, and all their kids, which is like a couple hundred kids, they show up tomorrow or start showing up tomorrow. They'll be here for the next week. And I mean, you talk about pandemonium. It is pandemonium. This is like the breath before the storm. So anyway, it feels a little overwhelming. How about you, Scott? Are you feeling on top of everything? And You know, we have something to discuss, don't we?
I was feeling overwhelmed, but now I'm feeling like my life's pretty easy. So,
well, how's the challenge coming?
Let's see. My one son and I fixed the vacuum, not the lawnmower, because the vacuum wasn't working. So that was cool.
Okay.
And we'll count that. Yeah, we better. I need all the help I can get.
Because maybe they didn't listen last week, but last week we were talking about the Family Man challenge. I had challenged you that I was going to ask you this week, how'd that go? And I was like, not going to let you off the hook. So you made it through, but you still got more stuff to do for the following week.
That wasn't all.
Whoa, that was just a pause. Sorry, go ahead.
We also went to Dairy Queen.
Awesome. Do you have like a favorite treat there at Dairy Queen?
No, actually, we don't usually go there, but my son got 2 gift cards for Dairy Queen for Christmas in his stocking or something, so
awesome.
He's been treating us.
That's awesome.
Even better, you know? My kid's paying for it. I don't have to worry about it. Let's
that's
go
a
to
win,
Dairy Queen,
win.
Kid.
That's a win-win. But good job. Good job. So so next week, we'll look forward to more good things, as you can check them off the list, because there's some more on the list. I'll tell you, we're going to talk in just a minute to a dad who is like amazing. He's done several of the Family Man and challenges, and we're going to be talking about your favorite topic and mine, Scott, tent camping.
Woo!
So Scott, we have on the line right now Mark Dykema, and Mark, it sounds like you've got some other stuff going on in the background, but the reason he contacted you is because you sent me a picture of you tent camping, and so we're going to talk about tent camping in just a minute. So, but tell us about yourself and who's yelling in the background.
Yeah, well, we've got some noisemakers in the background. We're actually getting ready to go tent camping this afternoon, so we're disrupting schedules a little bit of the youngest people in the house. Okay. So they're a little bit noisier than maybe what they normally would be. But my wife Jennifer and I have been married for 11 years. We've got 4 kiddos, 2 girls, 9 and 6, and 2 boys. He'll be turning 4 while we're out camping, and then
awesome.
14 months for the one that you're hearing make some noise now. And we live in Holland, Michigan, which is on the coast of Lake Michigan. If you went Grand Rapids and you went right straight to Lake Michigan, you'd go through Holland. Or if you were going across Lake Michigan from Holland, you'd go straight west to, you'd land just south of Milwaukee, basically. So that kind of gives you an idea of where we are.
And Holland is kind of, I mean, they kind of play up the Holland thing, right? I mean, you do the Tulip Festival and all that stuff.
Tulip Festival, yep. We've got Tulip Time. That's usually the second week of May. I mean, there's, I can get into it. I was a Tulip Time trolley tour guide this year, so I can tell you all the history if you want. But
that's a lot of tease in there.
Yeah. But you'll have to come back for more next week, you know?
Hey, Todd, I bet you did not know. I actually spent part of my honeymoon in Holland, Michigan.
You're right. I didn't.
At a bed and breakfast there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
my wife and
I. Did you do the Tulip Time temp? Whatever trailer thing?
Trolley.
Though that we got married in August, but I was in Holland for Tulip Time once many, many years ago when I was a kid. So I do know what you're talking about. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I've marched in many Tulip Time parades and all sorts of fun stuff. So
cool.
Yeah.
We may have to do a Tulip Time show sometime.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Well, you're getting ready to go camping, and where are you heading out? Where are you going to go?
We are heading to Holland, Michigan.
Well, it won't be very far then.
Yes, it won't be too much of a drive. We're not going too far away this particular time. We're camping with my wife's parents and some of the extended family. So
that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Well, the reason
beautiful state park, so.
Well, the reason I'm having you is because, you know, we're getting ready for a rally in about a month and a half, 2 months. And, you know, you've probably heard of Scott's terrible first tent camping experience. Yes. And I know that at least one other dad's going to be there with his tent. And last year there was a guy with his tent and never been camping before. And, you know, to me, there was always the, you know, those who can stay in hotels, those who can't stay in tents.
Right. Yes.
Well, how'd you get into tent camping?
Well, Jennifer and I both have been, campers with our families as kids, primarily in trailers. We had a pop-up, and I think Jen had a pop-up too. Jen's parents had a pop-up. But my dad and I, would go to NASCAR races and, you know, in Michigan and maybe, at the Brickyard in Indianapolis and stuff like that. And for those, we would, we'd pack along, two tiny tents, you know, that fit in these little bags and we'd go and, you know, you give some guy with a big lawn, you give him $20 and you park on his lawn and you set up a couple of tents and you're there for the night. So, so I was used to tent camping from that regard. And we didn't really, Jennifer and I hadn't really gone camping until, my older sister wanted to relive some of our childhood and go camping at a spot, in northern Michigan that we used to go to as children. And she and her husband, have a pop-up trailer and, we would borrow, I think somebody's tent. It wasn't anybody that we necessarily knew, but we borrowed their tent. It was pretty large and we would go camping with, I think at that time, a 2-year-old and Jen was pregnant with our second and it was blazing hot and it was great weather from a storm perspective, but it was ridiculously hot. And, I had sworn off of it. We're never doing this again. Cause I was uncomfortable all those nights and everything like that. And then I had taken lots of footage and, you know, videos and all this other stuff of our daughter's first camping trip. And of course, when it's your first kid, you know, you take pictures of everything that they do, or videos and everything like that. And so when we got home, I had put together this montage of this video, you know, in iMovie or whatever it was. And, you know, we watch that video every once in a while now, but, you know, we remember all of those fun little things that a little 2-year-old did, but we completely forget the heat and all of that kind of stuff, you know? And so, fast forward then to, 2 years ago, that same sister was diagnosed with leukemia and, we had a little bit of extra money and it was one of those things that it sort of struck me that it's like, you know, my own comfort is not nearly as important as my kids being able to have these memories that are really, really important, to their relationship with the family and getting out in creation and stuff like that. So we bought a cheapo tent. I think it's a 6-person tent or something like that. Not knowing the person calculations that they advertise on the side of the tent, has nothing to do with how many people can actually fit inside that tent. And we got that thing. We ordered it on Amazon. We got it. And, we headed up north, went to Tequamanon Falls. Have you guys ever been up there?
I've never even heard of it.
Really? Oh my goodness. Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And, there's 2 different sets of waterfalls that make Tequamanon Falls. Don't ask me to spell it cause it's ridiculous, but, there's one set that's a beautiful, it's Michigan's largest waterfall, one waterfall. And I think that's Upper Falls. And then Lower Falls is a series of smaller waterfalls that you can literally, it's like a water park that you can just go in and play in and stuff like that. And there's state parks, so you can get access to them just by having the right sticker or whatever on your license plate and stuff. And then, so we went up there, we were blessed with really great weather and great temperatures and everything like that. And that's sort of a lasting memory, that it's like any time that we're camping in a tent now and we're in the middle of a thunderstorm that's, you know, pouring down over our heads, we, you know, I can sort of latch on to the eternity of the memory of going to Tequamanon Falls with our then family of three kids, and Jen and I. And, you know, that will last for forever. A little bit of rainstorms, you know, that kind of stuff. Those stories also last for forever. Scott's cringing.
Scott is like, he's like going, I can't see him right now, but I'm sure he's pale right
he's
now.
Crying. The, he's crying. The...
I checked out because I'm having flashbacks.
I know.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
So is that, I mean, because you kind of, I mean, is that the best part of it? Is that why you like it? I mean, is it all the, you know, campfire stuff, or is it the memories that your kids take away from that?
Oh, I think it's the memories. I mean, there's, you know, of course those little things sort of in the middle of it, of, you know, roasting a hot dog at 9 o'clock at night over the fire, like nothing tastes better, you know, like that's just a glorious, glorious piece of meat right there.
Right.
But the memories, you know, and we go camping with our small group from church, and we've got 17 kids running around at that point. Wow. You know, and we go camping with some of our lifelong friends, and then we've got 7 kids running around, you know, and they're riding around on their bicycles, and it's just those memories that they'll have for forever. That it's like, you know, it's that sort of investment that it's like that makes it worth every time your tent collapses or something like that. You know? So
okay, now you've convinced Scott that he's ready to try it again someday in the distant future. You know, or maybe you've like the dad listening. He's like, I don't want to stay out all night.
Right.
Where should I start? You know, I mean, to assure a successful time, or what should I know? What should I know before I start?
The easier your tent is to set up, the better.
Okay, that's number one.
Number one.
That's on my side, not yours.
That's you still got a landline, don't you?
Oh yeah, this is my mother-in-law's telephone from the basement in their laundry room when they moved it. I couldn't just stand to get rid of. Okay,
easy to set up tent. Okay. And a tent that is spacious enough. And my rule of thumb now is double the amount of people in your family, or double the amount of people that will be sleeping in the tent, and that's how many people you need to look for to advertise on the side of the tent.
So
we've got 6 people in our family, we've got a 12-person tent now.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep. We bought this beautiful tent from Costco that it was just under $200, and it comes pre-assembled. You're not sliding poles in any little sleeves. You're not trying to put them back together when they fall apart halfway through your tent, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
So does this spring out? What does this do?
There's it's all sort of a tension-based system, but it's, you unfold it. The where the bottom of the legs are, they're currently lined up with the top peak of the tent, and you unfold it, and it kind of looks like a spider a little bit.
Uh-huh, right.
And then you push up 2 outside points, and when those are adjusted the right way, then there's 3 sort of peaks that are all sort of in straight line, and then there's 8 legs, and you pull the legs down until they click into place, and you're set up. You're rolling.
Well, I think Scott's first experience, his tent.
Where
was
were
based
you
on
2
it.
Years ago?
This was a tension-based tent too. I mean, there was a lot of tension there. I mean,
tension for sure.
I wish I had my camera going when he was sitting in it. Okay.
I mean, I have a friend who has the same tent, and he has had trouble with his. So maybe there's a little bit of a, I don't know, I'm not an engineer by any means, but it makes sense to me. You know, you pull on this pole here and you do this here and it all works. And they're in our small group and they had their tent collapse in the middle of a rainstorm this past time too. So, but I was there to help them. So next time, Scott, I can be there ready, you know, waiting on the outside.
Yeah, next time.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I mean, like, so you bought that tent. Yep. You get it from Costco. Is it waterproof? Do you have to do anything to help it be waterproof? And like, because I see some people, you know, that have another canopy over on the top of it.
Right.
Do you do that?
Yeah. So it comes, I mean, it comes with a fly that goes over the top. And that's an important part of sort of the tension, because you have to put the Velcro things around, you know, the poles and whatnot, and then stake those down with the little ropes. But otherwise, ours, to waterproof it for sure, the windows also have to be up, you know. So we zip the windows up at night, and thankfully it's cool enough in Michigan most nights that's not really an issue, you know, if it does rain. And then we have a tarp underneath just so water doesn't necessarily seep through.
So you set a tarp down first, and then you put your tent over it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And our tent, I think another important thing to look for is, you know, it's based, they make tents with base, the bottom basically is a tarp also. And then they nowadays, I think they make them so that, you know, the top, like the first 6 inches that are going up are also sort of, also a tarp like material.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really fortunate because we set up our tent, when we were camping with our small group. 2 years ago, we set up our tent to be in a more social place than necessarily the best strategic place to set up on the site, if that makes sense.
Right.
Which had both of my boys waking up in what the outside of the tent was in 6 inches of water, basically just standing water. But the inside of the tent, besides where we had one in a pack and play, and besides where those poles were pushing down, and water was sort of seeping through from the pressure on that, there was no water inside our tent. So besides what we tracked in with our feet. So, we had to jump out of our tent to get away from the water, but, you know, it dried up. Oh,
okay. So now you got your tent. You already mentioned like a strategic place to place your tent.
Sure.
What does that mean? I mean, I assume you know, you don't put it in a hollow spot or on top of roots.
Right. Or in a pond, you know, that kind of thing.
Or in a pond, right. Scott put his in a dumpster. But that was afterwards.
The best place for it.
Hard to keep the smell out, you know, when you're sleeping in that.
But it was waterproof.
For sure.
And his family had already left him, so it didn't really matter at that point.
It became a one-person tent. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, high ground, you know, that makes the most sense. High ground, slightly level, but if you can, where your heads are going to be, have those, you know, if you need to be on unlevel ground, have your heads be above your feet versus having the blood pool to your head. Otherwise, most of the parks we camp in, and I think most parks nowadays, they have pictures of the site, so you can kind of get an idea of where trees are and stuff like that.
Right.
And we've got nappers still, so trying to set up in a place that's shady so that you're not baking them in the tent, you know, during their naps and stuff like that.
What about bedding? What do you do for, like, I mean, you know, I know that some people do the inflatable things. What do you do?
Yep, we've got a few different things. You know, as I mentioned, the ones in the pack and play yet. We've got a queen-sized air mattress that Jennifer and I usually sleep on, and the kids always jump on. And then we've got a cot-type thing that all unfolds. That's also a queen-sized cot that our girls sleep on. So, and then the nice thing about the cot is that we can stick all of our clothes and everything like that underneath it. So you can sort of shimmy, you know, different things underneath there. Whereas an air mattress, obviously you're not going to get anything to slide underneath that. At least nothing that you like, you know? So, And we're pretty tight in there. I mean, when the boys are at the age where they can sort of share a bed, we can definitely fit one more queen mattress in there. But then there's not going to be a whole lot of room on the sides of the beds that you got to shimmy down to the foot of the bed to do that, you know. So, but it works well.
Do you have an outside part of your tent that, like, you know, because I'll see those screen kind of tents where they might have their food and stuff like that.
Yep, we don't have anything. We've talked about it maybe, but it's becoming an issue of what can we haul in our minivan, because that's the other aspect. We've got the stow and go, right, so we can jam a bunch of stuff underneath the middle seats.
Right.
We bought a car top carrier for $10 off of Craigslist, like the old school Sears ones, you know, the big white right. tanks that sit on the top there. And we've got that. And then I strapped the tent to the in its bag to the top of the van and wagon and cooler. Like, there's, you know, we look like a traveling circus, you know.
The like Beverly Hillbillies go camping.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what are some things that you think, you know, like, so the guy's going for the first time, what are things that he should make sure that he packs? Because I know, like, I spoke at a retreat up in Michigan, Camp Barrakel, wherever that is.
Yeah.
And there was a couple there. It was a couple's thing. And a husband and wife had never camped before, and they went and bought their tent at Walmart that night, and it snowed. And I'm like, oh man, these poor people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I would say the thing to do for sure is have your tent beforehand. And you know, if you have a garage or you know, you can move your dining room table or something like that and set it up. So that you know how to set it up before you're trying to set up your tension-based tent in the wind or something like that.
Who would do that?
Who would try something
like that?
Who
would try right wind for the first time when there's a windstorm?
Bring a big bottle of vodka or whiskey or something.
I don't know if that'll hold it down. You know, you might as well just use the stakes.
It'll keep you warm in the snow.
A stake right through the heart.
But yeah, so I would for sure do a dry run of setting up your tent. But then yeah, I mean, we've had plenty of times where we are not necessarily prepared for the weather that we actually experience. You know, it gets a lot colder at night, and a lot colder at night when you're in a tent versus, you know, in your house. It can also get really, really warm. So we always have, you know, sweatshirts and sweatpants packed along, and you know, we can layer up if we need to for a cold night.
Your mind plays tricks on you when that's happening too. Before the infamous event at the Family Man Rally, a few years before that, I took my son's tent camping, and it was like the coldest night of the year so far when we did this. It was when my son was in Scouts. And literally in the middle of the night, I mean, I couldn't sleep hardly at all. And I laid there thinking, are my kids freezing to death? Am I going to be on the news tomorrow because we're dying right now? Thankfully, no one died.
Yes. You're revisiting scenes from movies where you see these blue people and that kind of thing. Right. You know? Yeah. We have a little space heater that we set so that it sort of moves warmer air towards the boys, at least, because they don't necessarily have the wherewithal to wake up in the middle of the night and throw something on, you know, or grab an extra blanket or what have you.
And they even have, they even have little space coolers, don't they? I was talking to a guy who said he was tent camping, and they went out and bought something, and they said, oh, that took the edge off so much.
Right, for sure. Yep. We had this most recent time we were up a little bit more north in Michigan a couple of weeks ago, the picture that I sent you. I sleep on my side. The girls are right there, so it's kind of fun to have your, you know, wake up and your little girl, her face is 2 feet away from yours, you know, that kind of thing. But she wakes me up taps me on the shoulder at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she says she's cold and she wants to come snuggle with us, and we're not you know, in bed snugglers, you know what I mean? Like
right, kids
don't come in mom and dad's bed at home, you know?
Right.
But you know, we're camping and she's cold and it's like, sure, why not? So she jumps in by me, and Jennifer and I's backs are touching, and I'm sort of giving her these, you know, sleeping social cues of, would you shove over a little bit? I need a little bit more room, you know? And she's sort of giving me the same thing. And I'm like, for crying out loud, you know, like, this is ridiculous. Cause now, you know, we sleep on a California King at home. We've got lots of room. And so I'm like, this is just, I can't believe it. And so, wake up at like 7 a.m. and look over, and our 3-year-old had literally done the same thing to her probably 20 minutes prior to the 6-year-old coming on my side. Our 3-year-old son came on her side and was snuggling with her. So we had 4 of us in our little queen bed, which was kind of funny, but that kept it warm too. So, you know, yeah.
Well, so as we kind of wrap this up, I know Scott's like right on the edge right now. By the way, Mark, I'm looking at you in a, I just clicked on your picture on your email, and you're in a suit that is completely covered in tulips.
Yes. Yes. I couldn't wear that for the tour, the trolley tour, but I did wear it one time in a parade.
Yes. Even the tie is like tulipy fabric.
And then this year I ran a 15K race wearing the tulip suit.
That's impressive. Okay,
it's a little bit of marketing, because I've got a couple of businesses in Holland, so it was more of a marketing play than you know, try to accomplish running in a suit, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah.
So what do you? So the guy's listening, and he's like, I don't know. I could see some of the benefits. How about your last plug for why you ought to consider, you know, heading out in the tent?
Sure. Well, tent camping is the gateway camping experience, I think, that you know, most people are like, yeah, we started in the tent and then we ended up, you know, now, and they're pointing to their fifth wheel trailer and they've got all this other stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And for us, we're like, I think we just like tent camping. Like, we, you know, we like the flexibility. I don't have to have a storage unit. I don't have to give up part of my yard to keep, you know,
right,
to store something that I use for 3 weeks out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to use RV rentals, right? Is that
right,
what it is?
Right. Yeah, RVShare.com.
Yeah. RVShare.com.
That was very good how you slipped that in there.
Look at that. You know, we've got a shelf in our garage that we throw all of our camping stuff up in, and that's it. The reality is that if you spend even $100 on like a Coleman tent on Amazon, just to sort of get the experience, you can probably sell it pretty easily on Craigslist if you don't like it, but, your kids can play in it in the backyard too, you know?
Right.
So it's low risk. It's really low commitment. If you're on the fence and you have a tent, or you know somebody, you know, that you can borrow their tent even, then take some footage and make a video and come back and watch it a month after you make a video of your tent camping experience, and any negative things that you experience while tent camping, you'll only remember as a positive thing anyway.
That's amazing. Well, Mark, thanks for joining us. Have a great time out there. It looks like the chance of rain where I live, when, you know, I'm about 100 miles south of you, is only about, like, my mom said 90% for the weekend. So
you're gonna
have an awesome time.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah, it's our. He'll be 4 then, so that's his birthday is on Saturday, and it's looking like it's going to be a little bit wet, but you know, all right.
And they'll remember it forever.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mark.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Well, Scott, it's a lot quieter now when it's just the two of us. I felt like I was in the tent with him with all that noise going on, but you know, it still doesn't sound easy. But Mark is my hero. because, I mean, really, that's why we do sometimes those things that we don't want to do, because we know they pay off big, you know. And his kids are going to have amazing memories. And I'm not telling you, Dad, that you need to go out and get a tent and do all that. But if you've been thinking about it, it is doable. And maybe you do like Drew Geertz, who's, you know, the Family Man song guy. He said he was going to do a couple dry runs in his backyard. You know, I'm planning to at least do one, maybe a little later summer, maybe in September. We'll do a camp out in our backyard. I won't get much sleep, but the kids will have a great time and they remember those times. And maybe you did them with your little kids. Maybe it's time to do it again with your younger kids.
You know, as much as I hate to admit it, I still remember in a pup tent, my dad and my brother and I, and just one of those little like Boy Scout pup tents when we were little. That was very cool, man. So,
and how old were you then?
I couldn't have been much older than six, I don't think.
Isn't that amazing that you can remember that? I mean, and I know my kids will say, even when we set up the tent and it has kind of a musty smell because it's been sitting in a, and they'll say, oh man, it smells so good, you know, and they smell it as campfire and playing in the tent, you know, before we slept in it and playing in it before we take it down. And I just remember my son, Sam, when we spent the night out there in the, you know, pre-dawn hours, and he's in his sweatshirt and he gets up early and he sits on my lap. And he said, campfires are so good, aren't they, Dad? And, you know, but those won't happen unless we make them happen. So, again, the rally's coming up September 14th, 15th, and 16th. We just had another planning session last night. We're going to have a great time. We've got all kinds of games and crafts and fun things planned. We're charging just about the same as we did last year, but we're including another meal in there, so you don't have to worry about meals. You can see a little bit of our schedule. It's going to be a great, great time. So, Dad, I'd love to see you there. Also, I was just thinking, Scott, I'm working on the 2019 You to Dad Daily Calendar. Dads, if you've got any great ideas that you think would be a great idea to share with another dad, let me know. Just send it to familyman@familymanweb.com. Or if you'd like to sponsor a page, you can go to our website and just type in sponsor and it'll show you the information, you know, so you can let other dads hear about your services. Maybe you have a tent repair service and you want other dads to know about it. This would be a great opportunity to let a bunch of dads know about what you do or what you offer. Well, have a great weekend. I got to go take the kids to the blueberry patch because that's what dads do. Have a good weekend. Do what you need to do. Maybe, you know, do one of those projects on the Family Man bucket list, summer challenge. Get out the old tent. Make sure see if it still works, and do it because you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, you can email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.
Good. Oh, good. We got sound effects in the background. I'm okay with that.
Yes.